Good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you. I am excited about being with you this morning. Several of our members are away this morning as they start, Lipscomb starts spring break this week. And then I know Good Pasture is the next week. We have some going on a cruise that are getting excited about that upcoming trip. What a wonderful morning it has been together already. Didn't Braden Sweeney do a wonderful job leading us in our unison reading this morning? I appreciate his willingness. I love seeing our young men participate in our service, and what a wonderful encouragement it is to me. When my kids were little, I used to think that the elementary school teachers would figure ways to get me back for the things that I had implanted on my children, for the ways that they had behaved because of the silly things that I had taught them. Like the time that I taught one of my children, I won't mention his name, how to shoot spit wads out of a straw, which he got in trouble for and had to miss recess. He later went up to the teacher in the middle of that recess as the windows were open. I thought it was cruel and unusual punishment that he could see his friends on the playground while he had to stay there and miss that. So he goes up to his teacher and he taps her on the shoulder and says, "Psst, hey, if I give you a dollar, will you get me out of here?" It was things like that that I thought these preschool teachers would do one thing specifically to try to get me back. They would send home a project that had to have glitter involved. I hate glitter. You know why? Glitter gets everywhere. You will do a project with glitter and it will be months later and somebody goes, "Oh, you've got glitter in your hair. How did that get there?" You can't get rid of glitter. I want you to know today that we're going to conclude our series on one another passages. And today, we're going to talk about showing hospitality to one another. And as I was preparing for this week, I thought, when we show hospitality to those around us, it's like Christian glitter. It sticks with you forever, doesn't it? Last week, we had the privilege of thinking about bearing with one another. This week, showing hospitality. And again, Braden, thank you for leading us in our unison reading there from 1 Peter chapter 4. I love this passage. "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." Now, I think sometimes we have the wrong idea of what hospitality is. The first thing that we think of with hospitality is opening our homes to others. And clearly that's a part of it. As a matter of fact, as I was talking to my good friend Don Hudson this week about hospitality, as we were planning the service, we talked about maybe that we would love for everyone to have a goal in 2023 of opening up their homes to some in this congregation to show them the godly hospitality we're called to. And I hope you will consider doing that. But I believe hospitality goes way more than just opening up your homes. Listen to these definitions I found. The first one is the friendly or generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. Now, that's pretty good. But listen to the second one I found that I like even better. The love of strangers. Doesn't that entail so much more with just a few small words? Jesus routinely ate with sinners through his earthly ministry. He received children gladly. He taught us to invite the lowly to our parties and to welcome strangers. He prepared breakfast for his disciples after his resurrection, even though they had scattered and ran. He ate with disciples on the road to Emmaus. Before his departure, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Even the first recorded miracle of Jesus foreshadowed the coming wedding feast, where the groom, Jesus, awaits his bride, the church. Aren't you thankful for hospitality? Christ came to us to bring us into the family, to make us feel a part, but he came at a great cost. It wasn't free. It wasn't easy. But now we enjoy the privileges of the King's hospitality. The question that we have to ask each other this morning is this, though. Are we participating? Are we acting like Christ when we offer hospitality to others? I think many see Jesus as a personal example of morality. But do we let that bleed over? And yes, I use the word bleed for a reason. That crimson flow. Do we let that bleed over into our social examples? When we put on Christ and we're filled with the Spirit, the way we interact with the world should change forever, shouldn't it? It's different. Following Jesus includes following his practice of hospitality. It's joyous. It's authentic. It's generous. It's countercultural. It's hope-filled. When Jesus said, "Come follow me," he isn't calling us to offer a class or a program. As a matter of fact, if we look at even the greatest commandment, when Jesus was asked, "Love the Lord your God," but he quickly follows by saying, and the second is like it, "Love your neighbor as yourself." In this life, it includes hospitality. It includes opening up our homes. But hospitality does not apply to only those who own homes. Hospitality does not apply to only those who are adults. Hospitality is open our lives to others, to sharing life together. I think about my three students that have come this morning. I'm so thankful to see them, and I hope you'll make them feel welcome. Of the way that I see hospitality in their life, whether it's talking about fishing and what bait seems to be pulling them in today, or sharing something to eat with someone at the lunch table, or maybe even during the middle of my class. Hospitality is more than just opening your door. With this in mind, I'd like to offer four practical ways this morning. I want to give you something you can take with you today, practice today, of showing Christian hospitality. And when we do that, you know what we become? Christian glitter. It'll be months down the way, and they'll still see it in their hair. They won't be able to get it off their hands or out of their minds, because we're showing the love of Christ by the way we live. So here you go. You might want to write these down. Number one, when we practice hospitality, we welcome everyone we meet. We extend a kind word to everyone that we come in contact with. We share our time, our energy, in our lives with others, especially those that may need our time more than we need their time. We welcome strangers and outcasts. If you have a Bible, you might turn to Luke chapter 19 for a minute. Starting in verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Zacchaeus opened his home to Jesus, but who was showing hospitality here? Zacchaeus was the chief of tax collectors, an outcast, one that was considered to be a Benedict Arnold, someone that had turned on his people. Yet Jesus opened his heart. He opened a line of communication with a kind word. He set an example for others by saying, "Today I must go to your house. I must eat with you." In the same way that Zacchaeus was worthy of Jesus' time, the outcasts that we interact with are loved by God and worthy of our time as well. If only we could get out of the rat race of hierarchy. If only we would look at each other differently, not by what we have, what we do, our power or prestige, but if only we could look at each other the way Jesus looks at us, precious brothers and sisters, those that will spend eternity together. So not only should we welcome everyone we meet, number two, we should engage people. When we practice hospitality, it's not just a simple greeting, it's engagement. Engage others with the mindset of Jesus. It's an investment. It's like digging in the garden. Some of you over here know what digging in the garden's all about, don't you? The only way that you can get your plants to grow and be as beautiful as they will be is to get your hands dirty. You have to get your hands into the soil. You have to break it up. You have to prepare it to plant the seed or to put the plant into the ground. Then are you done with it? Do you walk away? No, you have to water it. You have to watch out for weeds. You see, when we engage others, our hands are going to be dirty. Why? We'll look back in Romans chapter 12. And Terrell, I thought that was a wonderful way that you presented that passage to us today. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Your hands are going to get dirty. Practice hospitality. Your hands are going to get dirty. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Dirty hands. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lower position. Dirty hands. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, the eyes of everyone, if it is possible. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It takes dirty hands. Do not take revenge, my dear friends. But leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, are you ready for dirty hands? If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head and have dirty hands. This kind of engagement involves a personal connection. You can't do it from afar. You have to have dirty hands. The third practical way I see that we could offer hospitality is making meals a priority. Make mealtime a priority. Many of Jesus' striking moments in Scripture come at a meal. Sharing a meal with something is much more than just filling an empty stomach, isn't it? Oftentimes, it's filling an empty soul. Invite a person to a meal. Pay for the meal if possible. Pray for your guests specifically before you eat together. Use meal times to build relationships and talk about things that really matter. But it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to cost a lot. Maybe make McDonald's your ministry. Maybe it's just a cup of coffee or a Coke. I can't even imagine the number of times through the years of ministry, through the years of youth ministry, where I've taken someone to just go get a Coca-Cola. But it was way more than just a Coke. That conversation was the value. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we see that the new Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. It was the secret sauce to the growth of the church. Hospitality, it's glitter. It's the secret sauce. It's the connection. It's the way that we can encounter Jesus on earth. Welcome everyone you meet. Engage with people. Make mealtime a priority. And finally, look for those that need encouragement. We all interact with people at work, at church, at school, in our neighborhoods. But how many of these people are outcast and unnoticed? How many of these people are struggling or hurting? Be observant. Look for ways to encourage. Your uplifting word or kind action may change someone's life forever. It may be the rescue buoy that they needed at just the right time. Matthew chapter 22, starting verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So, church, this morning, why don't we practice the greatest commandment? Let's go be glitter. If we can help you be glitter in any way, we'd love to. We'd love to pray with you. We would love to help find a way that you could start a ministry here at this church. Maybe you are the next McDonald's ministry of coffee. We want to help you because we know that you becoming glitter will will change the world. And it'll be in people's hair forever. Why don't you come while we stand and sing?